Good morning. Well, that was an inspiring video to watch. You know, we're in a year of wanting to grow and be formed to be disciples of Jesus, and serving is definitely an important aspect of that. So I loved being able to hear a story of some people in our church doing just that. Well, another aspect of being a disciple of Jesus is learning to be with him in silence and solitude, and learning to hear his voice and experience that. And that just feels like an absolute radical notion that the creator of the universe would desire to spend time with us, that we could be aware of his presence and know his voice. And I want to begin this morning with just saying, hey, no matter where you're at this morning, if you feel like you're at your best, or if you feel like you're a hot mess, that Jesus likes to keep company with you. He really deeply loves you. He does. And we want to practice that this morning together through a few different experiences that I'm going to walk you through. Well, as I said, we're in a series of hearing and speaking, and throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we just witness a God who is very good at communication, a God who can't be contained to a certain way of speaking to us. I mean, you read it and you hear of a God who speaks through prophets and priests and teachers, a God who speaks through nature, a burning bush even, a God who speaks through children, who speaks through older people, through angels, through dreams, through images, through writing on tablets, through answered prayer, conviction of sin, and I could go on and on. We have a God who speaks. And we have learned about a Jesus that walked with disciples and encouraged them to hear the voice of their shepherd. And I believe that that is still the desire of Jesus today, that we would hear the voice of the shepherd. So in order for us to learn and to grow, we have to practice. We have to learn together. And I thought about doing a little crash course, a few minutes, of answering this question of how do we recognize the voice of God? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wrestled with that? I know I have. How do we recognize the voice of God? So just a few things I wanted to offer to you today in terms of thoughts on that. You can think of it as discerning the voice of God in terms of content, and you can think of it in terms of how it is said, how it is delivered. So first of all, I like to ask myself this question. Does this sound like the Jesus of the Gospels? So if there's a thought or an impression that you receive, one of the first questions I like to ask is, Jesus, does this sound like you? Like when I read about you and the stories and how you interact with people, does this sound like you? Or on a whole of Scripture, does this sound like how God interacted with his people? So that's one question. Another one I like to think about is, does it reflect the fruit of the Spirit? And you may say, well, what does that mean, Lisa? Well, Scripture talks about when we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit and we are walking with the Spirit of Jesus, there is an outcome, there is a fruit that comes from that. And talks about love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness. And so when I'm trying to discern, hey, is this a voice of God, I kind of put that filter over that. Does this sound loving? Is this patient? Because if you receive something that feels very anxiety-producing or mean or condemning or filled with, it just kind of produces a fear in you, probably not the voice of God. Because God wants to move you in a place that brings you to life and isn't confusing and isn't discouraging. All right, so that's another question I have. Now, in terms of how it's delivered, there's a quote that I like from Stanley Jones, and he says this, "The voice of the subconscious argues with you." Have you ever felt like you argued with your voice inside of your head? I do that. I hear some laughter, so I feel like some of you are resonating with that. Thank you. Argues with you, tries to convince you, but the inner voice of God does not argue. It does not try to convince you. It just speaks and is self-authenticating. It has the feel of the voice of God within it. So this word self-authenticating, if you have a self-authenticating document, that means that you need no extrinsic proof to prove that it's actually genuine or authentic. It just proves itself to be true. It speaks for itself. And I think that's a good way to kind of think of when you're discerning the voice of God is it just speaks for itself. And there's no argument. It's settled. And that's one way to think about it. Another is a quote by Adam McHugh in his book called Listening. He said, "We can know it by its impact and not by the words themselves." I like to say that the voice of God has a weight that carries with it. And so if it hits you with some kind of weight or impact, sometimes that's a good indication that that might be God. And it's not just what is said. Again, it's how it's felt. And it could be an impression. It could be a thought. It could be a sense. It could be an image. Very rarely is it an audible voice. Very rarely. So those are just a few things that I like to think about when it comes to discerning God's voice. People have written volumes on this topic and lots of sermon series, so we just got a little crash course on that today. But I want to now move into our experiences together, and are you guys ready to try something new this morning? Yes, I love that enthusiasm. Yes, 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 because I'm ready to have some fun. And I actually find these types of experiences fun. It's something that I do in my own time with God. You know, when we present something to you, we want it to be an experience or a reflection that you can actually take with you and do on your own, okay? So this is something that is transferable. The first experience we're going to do today will start in a place of gratitude. And I think gratitude is always a great place to start because it kind of softens up our spirit. It softens us up. It opens us up to be able to receive from God what he might have. I like to say that practicing gratitude increases our capacity for joy. And who doesn't want more joy, especially in a time like this? A few weeks ago, some of you know that I've been on a journey of trying to heal from some back pain, and it's felt long. It's 5 weeks so far, but my first doctor's appointment, when I went through this appointment, I experienced what I just felt like a very profound sense that God was with me in that appointment. So much so that a few days later, I felt like I needed to revisit that and just bring it to God in prayer and say, God, I was so grateful for that appointment and for how the doctor dealt with me, and I just want to know if there's something more from that, and I want to see how you were with me in that appointment. So what I did was what I'm going to do with you is I just kind of did this reflection time in prayer, and through that moment of gratitude and deep joy of God's presence, I asked him, show me how you were with me, and I feel that he showed me some things. And that gift of that time in prayer has helped carry me through these weeks because I think that's what God wants to do for us. And so this exercise is just helping you recall an event, a time when you experienced deep joy or happiness, something that you're just incredibly grateful for because I believe that the presence of God is in those moments. And sometimes we miss it. So I'm going to walk us through that today, all right? And I'm going to take a seat here just to get a little more comfortable, and I want you to be able to get comfy in your chair. I'm going to be your guide this morning, and so I'm just going to provide you with some prompts, so no worries, no pressures. I'll guide you, just listen and follow, and as Matt said, let's just have an open posture of availability to what God may want to say or how he wants to be with us this morning. This time of prayer will be about, I don't know, maybe 6 minutes or so, okay? So I'll give you some prompts and kind of usher us through that moment. Again, there might be some times of quiet that might feel a little awkward. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And remember this, it's God's job to speak to you. So for those of us that feel like we have to perform sometimes, like, you're already thinking, man, I better get this right. What if he doesn't speak? Some of you might be thinking, what if he does speak? You know, just try to quiet down that voice inside and say, God, I'm open. And he's got this thing covered, okay? He's very good at communicating. We just need to be open to receive it. And you know what? If you get to the end and you're like, I don't know, Lisa, I don't know if I got anything. That's okay. We're practicing. It's okay. Let it be what it is. Those of you that might be visiting today or exploring Jesus, I think gratitude's good for everybody, so I invite you to participate, and you can engage with God to the level that you feel comfortable. All right? Sound good? Okay. So just kind of settle into your chair. To help me focus, I usually close my eyes because that limits distraction. So I would invite you to do that. I'm going to open us up in prayer and just dedicate this time to God, and then we'll begin. And then I'll close off the prayer experience with amen, so you'll know when it's over. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we recognize that you're in this place. And we acknowledge that you are king of our heart, and you rule and you reign here. And so we welcome all that is a part of you, all that is your heart, into this prayer time. In this reflection. Jesus, I pray that you help us to learn to hear your voice and to recognize you with us. Lord, I pray that you would align our minds and our hearts with you so that we think about all that is good and true and lovely and praiseworthy. In the power of your name, I ask that you protect us from the evil one. I ask that you hold back any kind of distraction or scheme of the evil one to take us off course this morning. And so in your powerful name, we dedicate this time to you, and we invite your presence, and we invite you to surprise us this morning. Fill our hearts with joy and with gratitude, and give us a sense of peace. Amen. So in the quietness of your heart, I invite you to make this invitation to say to God, Lord, I know you're here with me. Help me be aware of your presence. Just say that in the quietness of your heart. Now I invite you to ask Jesus to bring to mind a moment when you felt immense happiness, or you felt deeply loved or close to God. It could be recent, it could be a while ago. It could be on a vacation, it could be at home. Just let your mind be open and ask God to bring to mind a moment. If you're having trouble picking one, it's okay. Just pick one, let the others go. You can always do this again. Okay, trust you have picked your event and your moment. Now I just want you to think about what happened. Place yourself there. What do you see? Was there anybody with you? Did you hear anything that brought you joy? Or what are some emotions? How are you feeling? What was this experience like for you? Feel it and see it all over again. And rest there. Now, if you're comfortable, ask Jesus this question. Jesus, how were you with me in this moment? Please show me. Jesus, how were you with me? Pay attention to what you see or you sense. Now I invite you to ask him, is there anything more? I invite you to bring all that you have for me right now. Be open to all that he has for you. Jesus, is there anything you want to say? Ask him. And now, as we're closing our time, take a minute and express thanks for this moment of joy and this time with Jesus. Just talk to him. Tell him thank you. Well, God, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and we thank you for the gifts of these moments in our life where we felt joy and love and closeness to you. God, I pray that you would anchor now anything that you brought to our attention, and Lord, may you make it bigger and brighter in our life. Thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, normally I would have you discuss your experience with somebody if we were in a smaller room or a class, but due to this context, I'm just going to invite you now as Cliff comes up and plays a little background music, just to have some reflection of what was that experience like for you. For some, that might have been hard or hard to connect. For some, you might have really felt like God spoke something to you, And so just take some time to reflect on the experience you just had, and again, dialogue with God and talk to him about it while Cliff plays, and then I'll bring us back together. Just pay attention if there's anything that you sense, any kind of impression. Pay attention to maybe how you might be feeling. And again, ask God, what do you have for me this morning? Right. We're gonna move on to our second experience now. And some of you may have practiced this. It's called Lectio Divina. It's just a fancy word for saying divine reading. And this is a practice that actually began, you know, and was practiced for 1,500 years following the time of Christ. And so this idea of reading and sitting deeply with Scripture. Now, people didn't have Bibles like we do today. They weren't as accessible, to put it lightly, and literacy wasn't as common. And so for people, for years and hundreds of years, they weren't able to engage with Scripture like we have the privilege of doing today. And so they would gather together and someone would read Scripture and they would listen. And as they would listen, they would ask that God would bring some kind of word or phrase that they could meditate on for the rest of the week. And that's kind of how they internalized Scripture. And so that's something that we're going to practice together today. Is I have a passage out of Luke 22, 14 through 22 that we're going to read. And it is story of the Lord's Supper that will lead us into a time of communion tonight. But two benefits of this practice that I'd like to address is, one, that it helps us to engage our heart and our spirit, and not just kind of the cerebral side or the cognitive or rational side of our brain. Sometimes when it comes to reading or studying or listening to someone give a sermon. So as you listen to Scripture being read, and you're just kind of open to it, open to what God might draw attention to you as you hear it, it's a way to engage your heart and your spirit. It's also a way to allow Scripture to help you dialogue with God. Scripture says that it is living and active. And so I really believe that the Word of God is living and active. And as we hear it, there are things that God brings to our attention. So the way this is going to look is I'm going to read out loud this passage. And again, you, if it helps you to limit distraction, you can just close your eyes and listen to me as I read it, and I will give you prompts about what to pay attention to. Some of you, it might help if you read along on the screen, and I'll have it. Or you can also turn to your Bible or your device, because this will just have a few verses at a time. So if you want it more in front of you, feel free to open your Bible or your device. So I'll give you a prompt. You'll listen to Scripture being read. And then I'll give you time to reflect, and then we'll read it again. And so I'm going to do that four times, and each time will look a little bit different, okay? So this will be a little bit of a different adventure this morning, but I'm looking forward to it. So the passage is Luke 22, 14 through 22. And before I begin reading this first time, this is what I want you to pay attention to as you listen. Listen for any words or phrases that light up to you or that carry some weight. So be thinking like, what is catching my attention? And don't analyze it, don't judge it, just allow yourself to listen, to be open, and if there's any word or phrase that just kind of sticks out to you or resonates with you, that's what I want you to pay attention to the first time through, okay? And this is meant to be deliberately slow, so you might be thinking, Lisa's reading that a little slower than normal. I don't want to rush it, okay? So I actually have read slowly at the top of every single time with you so that I don't go too fast. All right, so settle in. If you want to close your eyes to help you focus, feel free to do that. Again, it'll be on the screens if you want to follow along. Okay, so first time, listen for any words or phrases that light up. Here we go. Luke 22, 14 through 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of time now to think about what was the word or phrase that maybe came to you as you listened to that, and just sit with it for a moment, okay? And then we'll move on. All right, we will move on to our second reading, and this time, continue to reflect on the importance of the words that you heard, like the ones that lit up for you, and maybe ask yourself, where does this connect with my life right now? As you listen to the story again, feel free to use your imagination if you'd like and enter into that story. Sometimes that's fun. God gave us an imagination, and we can use it when we listen to scripture. Maybe God will speak to you that way. So be open to what Jesus has for you in the second reading through. You guys are doing great, by the way. Has church ever been so quiet? All right. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." Again, I'll give you a little bit of time there to reflect on that. Where do you sense this connecting with your life right now? And God, we are open to what you have for us. Okay, before the third time I'm going to read through it, allow this to lead you into a prayer response. Again, it's Jesus, what do you have for me? All right, third time. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." Allow that to lead you into a prayer response with Jesus. Now, before I read it for the fourth time, I have a painting here that I want you to look at. See, it's in the center. Are we able to put it on the side screens at all? Sometimes we connect with God through our ears, through listening, but we can also connect with God through our eyes, and it's through art and creation. And here is a depiction of the Lord's Supper. And before I read it through the fourth time, and Cliff is going to come up and play some music while we look at this, I just want you to practice observing this photo or this painting. And what do you see? What are the characters that you see in the painting? How does the artist use light and shadow? What kind of emotion or tone is in this scene? If you were in this scene, where do you think you'd be? And as I read this through, this passage through the fourth time, the painting will stay up while you look at it. And just ask God again, God, is there anything you have for me as I look at this painting? Is there anything new you want me to observe or know? When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. I'll give you a little bit of more time for reflection and prayer. Allow this time to prepare you for communion. We will be moving into a time where you'll be able to come up and receive the bread and the juice. Servers, you can come up and come to your station. We have a station up front here and one in the back, right over here, and then also in the back over there by the booth. If you want to take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice, that would be these stations over here. If you'd rather have a separate cup and wafer, if you feel more comfortable with that, there'll be a station over by the sound booth that you can receive communion there. But allow our time of sitting deeply into this passage of Jesus sharing the Lord's Supper with his friends. May that prepare you and maybe help approach the Lord's Supper, the table, in a new way. I'm going to pray, and then when I'm done, you can feel free, whenever you feel ready, to come forward and just take the elements, and then you can return to your seat. Music will continue to be played, and then as Cliff kind of senses that we're through, then he will close us off in a song together. Okay. So let's pray. Jesus, you said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. Thank you that you eagerly desire to share this special moment with us. We thank you for your incredible, scandalous love that was reflected on the cross. We thank you for your incredible sacrifice to pour out yourself so that we could have life, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could know the peace of a relationship with you. God, please meet us in this time of remembering you and what you have done for us. And we're so grateful to do this together in community. We ask this in your name. Amen.